Turning now to some news from the world of sports, and the Essex Hornets are in a familiar spot as state champions in Division I boys hockey after a resounding 5-0 win over Spalding at Gutterson Fieldhouse last night. The second-seeded Hornets put up 3 goals in the first period and never let the third-seeded Crimson Tide into the game, ensuring the 15th state title in school history. Essex got goals from 5 different players in the win, and Sam Foster made 17 saves to notch the shutout. In the Division II final, the Woodstock Wasps were trying to finish out a season without a loss, and they did so in style, shutting out Linden 4-0 at the Gut to win the D2 championship. Colin McCarthy scored the first goal for Woodstock, the only tally they would need on the night, finishing the year with a record of 22 wins, no losses, and just a 2-2 regular season tie against Colchester to prevent a perfect season. Over at Barry Auditorium, the boys' Division II basketball state title was decided with a brilliant battle between Fairhaven and Milton that came down to the wire after the Slaters built up a big lead just to see the Yellow Jackets roar back with a 13-0 run to tie the game late in the fourth quarter. Cam Kaluti had a game-high 29 points, but Ian Jennings was nearly as good for Milton, pouring in 27, including a 3-pointer that tied the game at 47 with less than 2 minutes to go. But Kaluti scored Fairhaven's last 7 points of the contest, and the Slaters held on for a 59-57 win that delivers the school's first state title in 16 years. The Division IV boys' title is a first for Sharon, as the number 2 Phoenix defeated top-seeded Danville 60-56 at the odd, completing a perfect 24-0 season to capture the first championship in school history for Sharon. Sam Norland scored 26 points for Sharon. Fisher Kelly added 16, plus the basket that put the Phoenix up for good late in the second half. To the NHL now, and with yet another member of the Boston Bruins unavailable due to injury, the Bruins called up a familiar name to longtime fans who remember when his dad used to roam the ice at the Garden. Ted Donato's son Ryan made his NHL debut last night, filling in for veteran star Rick Nash, just the latest Bruin to be sidelined in what's become a kind of MASH unit of top-shelf players needing to nurse a variety of ailments. And Donato's first NHL tilt could only have gone better if the Bruins hadn't lost 5-4 in overtime to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Donato scored his first NHL goal in the second period, blistering a one-timer slap shot into the net on a nice feed from Torrey Krug, showing off the shot he's become known for as a standout at Harvard and more recently as the highest-scoring player representing Team USA at the Olympics in South Korea. And Donato was not done. He added 2 assists on a night when scoring happened so fast you can miss 2 goals just getting distracted by the banners hanging in the rafters. The Bruins trailed 1-0 before forging a 3-1 lead in the second on Donato's goal, another by Brad Marchand and a strike by Riley Nash. And things got really crazy. The Blue Jackets scored 3 straight, but just 25 seconds after grabbing a 4-3 lead, Donato sent a pass into the crease for David Krejci. He squeezed one just past the post, and goalie Jonas Korpisalo to tie the game again. Now, the Bruins probably should not have had to go to overtime at all, given that one of Columbus's goals resulted when the refs blew an icing call. Replays clearly showed Columbus had iced the puck, but the call was not made, and seconds later, the puck was behind Tuukka Rask. It was something coach Bruce Cassidy barked about on the bench, of course, to no avail. In the overtime period, the Bruins were angered again when Brad Marchand was sent over the blue line on a partial breakaway and was practically mugged from behind by a Columbus defender, barely able to get a backhand on goal as a result. Marchand looked around for a call, at least a penalty shot, a holding, a hooking call, nothing. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that if it had been any other player getting the business the way Marchand did, something would have been called. But number 63's own reputation for less than noble stick work likely kept the ref's arm down. Or perhaps the fact this was a late-season contest with playoff implications on the line for Columbus, none of which excuses the non-call. In any event, Cam Atkinson ended the affair with an overtime game winner that extends the Blue Jackets' winning streak to 8 games and pulls them into a tie with the Philadelphia Flyers for 3rd place in the Metropolitan Division. The Bruins are just within 1 point of Tampa Bay for 1st place in the Eastern Conference. And even with the loss, the Bruins have to be encouraged by the debut of Ryan Donato. Now, if they can just get healthy for the playoffs. Elsewhere, the Florida Panthers are trying to get into the playoff picture, and they inched closer last night with a 2-0 shutout win over the Montreal Canadiens. The win moves the Panthers to within 3 points of New Jersey for one of 2 available wildcard berths, and Florida also has two games in hand over the Devils. Roberto Luongo made 28 saves to get his third shutout of the season. Finally, to the NBA, LeBron James made history. He became the third oldest player to score at least 40 points as part of a triple-double. 40 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. In Cleveland's win over Milwaukee at age 33, LeBron pulled off the feat with only Elgin Baylor ahead of him, having done it at age 34, and a guy named Larry Bird, who recorded a triple-double for the Boston Celtics at the age of 35.